Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Jumping Monkeys is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 25, for November 24th, 2007. Z-Rex and Mom Speaks. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Kajit, the pay-as-you-go cell phone service that's right for kids and right for parents, affordable and totally customizable. No long-term contracts. See Kajit at your local Target or find out more at Kajit.com. K-A-J-E-E-T.com. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, ladies and gentlemen. You hear that little sound? That's Megan. That's Megan, and that's the sound of commitment, my friends.
That's the sound of me not being able to work my $10 Timex watch.
That's the sound of a woman who doesn't want this podcast to be longer than an hour and is determined to make sure it's not.
Yes, we got to keep to a schedule here, Leo.
I like working with Megan. I tell you, I work with, you know, now I do, what, a dozen different podcasts, and it's different people all the time. They all have different ways of working, but you're organized. You're plan ahead. You've got show notes. I like this. Mm-hmm. And you have a Timex.
I do have a Timex.
Actually, Steve Gibson will also time it.
Really? He will?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he ignores it.
He times it.
I know you'll pay attention.
Yeah. I wish that I still had, you know how they used to be in your ear on the screensavers, just telling you how much time.
Those producers used to hate that.
Yeah. I used to really hate that.
Rap.
Yeah,
rap.
Exactly. I always listened. You never listened.
Hard rap.
So today we're going to talk to Jeremiah McNichols. He has three different sites. That's why I want to keep to a schedule, because we have a lot to talk about. He has Z Recommends, which is a great review site that probably a lot of people are already familiar with. And then he has a wiki called Toy Instructions that's really cool.
Great idea.
And a new site called Prizy that kind of collects all the giveaways all over the web. So if you want to win something, stay tuned to listen to him talk about
Jay and his wife are putting out more content than I am. It's amazing. I don't know how they find time to do
it. Is he called Jay to you now? Your friend Jay?
Jeremiah. If you're going to be talking and you want to keep it short, if you say Jeremiah, that's a lot of syllables.
That is true.
Jay is faster.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet his wife calls him Jay.
Maybe, but you're not his wife, Leo.
My wife calls me Al.
She
calls Henry
not.
H. Calls Abby A. What do you call your husband? What's your lovey-dovey name?
I don't have a lovey-dovey name for
him.
I know. He's just Marco.
You don't call him O? I'd call him O.
No, yeah.
I'd say, yo, O.
Yeah.
Take out the garbage. O.
I should start calling him O. Okay, let's get to the spend, save, give. This is the segment where we talk about one way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to give it away.
I've just been dissed big time. Yeah, that was funny. Okay, let's move on.
So spend. Now, I've been meaning to talk about the Cool Mom Picks for a while. They're two women who have this review website, but it's really cool stuff just by independent artists. They find a lot of stuff on Etsy.
Craft stuff.
Yeah. Different toys and just stuff.
Not a lot of plastic.
No. And what I wanted to talk about was the Safer Toy Guide that they just came out with.
Neat.
They have a Safer Toy Guide and also their Holiday Gift Guide.
They have an Unsafer Toy Guide?
Well, I was wondering if the Holiday Gift Guide
wouldn't that be fun?
Was unsafe, but I don't think so. No. I mean, because most of their stuff is just, it's not made by big corporations.
Right.
It's made at home by a lot of stay-at-home moms.
Lots of small parts you can swallow and choke on. No.
And all of their sites, all of the stuff they recommend is just stuff they've found. They're not, you know, being paid to post about this stuff. And it's really beautiful stuff. So it's coolmompicks.com.
This is a nice site.
Yeah.
I'm kind of impressed.
Kind of impressed?
I'm somewhat impressed.
Yeah, they just redesigned a few months ago, and I really like it. And the women that run it are really sweet. And it's coolmompicks.com for the Safer Toy Guide. It's SaferToy07, and the Holiday Gift Guide is on their front page at coolmompicks.com.
Does everybody in the mommy blog sphere
know? Yes, yeah. We all do that. We're a cabal, Leo.
You all know each other and like hang out together. And
Talk about how you're going to take over the world.
Not everyone knows each other, but, you know, it's funny because, you know, I started my blog in 2003 and I just randomly started writing about my life, which happened to be being a mom. And
you weren't planning on being a mommy blogger.
No, but then, you know, when I had the twins, like, I kind of went offline for a while and, you know, I couldn't barely brush my teeth. I didn't go on the internet. I didn't post and everything. And then I came back and all of a sudden I realized it was this whole new world. I felt like a total outsider. But now that I've started, you know, now that since we started this podcast, and I've been really looking around and contacting people, I do feel like they're letting me play their reindeer games a little more.
Aw, isn't that nice? Yeah. You're one of them.
No, not quite yet. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, you are.
They like me. Here's another mom blog. This is very mommy.
You know,
but
really, we got plenty of time. You don't have to rush. Just keep going a mile a minute. Did you have a big cup of coffee before you got here?
I don't drink coffee, but only Diet Coke, and only in the morning.
Coke has caffeine. Don't be uppity with me, lady. There's as much caffeine in that Diet Coke as there is.
Well, was there something else you wanted to say about the cool mom picks?
No, let's move on.
Okay. This is Design Mom, which I actually might have found on Cool Mom Picks now that I come think about it. You know, that's the way it is. You're right. It is. It's just
this one little thing. Big circular thing.
No, I found this on the Parents Magazine blog, actually. And this is designmommarketplace.blogspot.com.
It looks like just a bunch of ads, though. Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Design Mom is her blog. And then the ads are just basically, the reason why it's under the save category is these are all like coupon codes that you can use.
Oh, yeah. Free shopping.
Yeah. So again, this
is...
Get one
free at Badass Booty Bomb. Wait a minute. That went by too fast. Badass Booty Bomb.
What's that?
I don't know, but it comes from a small and medium. It's a smear it on and smile, it says. It's for moms. It says, why should I use BABB instead of one of the other gazillion butt rash products?
Oh, I see.
You don't need to worry about this anymore. You're past
I'm past, but everybody's not. So again, this is like smaller sites, you know.
I wish we had this. Look what's in this. This is good.
What is the right stuff? What is in it?
Aloe butter, number one ingredient. Mm-hmm. Zinc oxide. You got to have that. Everybody's got that. That kind of seals off the moisture. Mm-hmm. Beeswax. Mm. Lanolin.
Yeah.
The most emollient of all. Emu oil.
Mm.
I didn't know emus had oil. Peru balsam essential oil. Chamomile blue essential oil. Helichrysum essential oil. And that's it.
Huh.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. You bought me our first.
I might have another baby just to use this.
You bought me our first thing of,
Jennifer bought it.
No,
sure.
You did. We were like going home or something. I don't know why we found ourselves in Longs or something.
And I bought
and you were like, oh, you need this.
A&D ointment?
Yeah. It was A&D. I don't know why we were in
there. Did you use it?
Yeah. So I think we didn't use it that much because I think we just finished it like 4 years later after, you know.
Oh,
it probably isn't good anymore, but yeah, we don't need to use it anymore.
Probably you should have used Badass Booty Bomb.
I should have probably. You just enjoy saying
if
that.
If I had known, I would have bought you that. No, I grew up on A&D ointment. I don't know why. And we used it. I actually bought you a tube of A&D ointment.
Yeah, you did.
What do you, you know, this would be a good one for people to, when they're going to call in. Every once in a while, we hit a topic that we get a lot of, calls on the one laptop per child.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting a lot of calls on the best diaper ointment.
Yeah.
707-981-4602.
Yeah, because there are a lot of, it's not just the A&D and the
there's many
Boudreaux's
choices.
Butt paste anymore.
Is that what you use, Boudreaux's butt paste?
That's the one I enjoy saying.
Is there really such a thing?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, Design Mom Marketplace. We got distracted. So this is Design Mom is the blog.
Right. And Design Mom Marketplace is the where you can save money for your holiday shopping or any shopping because she has little discount codes.
And that's where I learned about BAB.
Exactly. Let's call it BAB for our younger listeners.
I've already offended them.
Okay. Now we're going to get to our give segment. Someone in my mother's club sent this around. It's called Let's Say Thanks.com. And it's a Xerox sponsored site that lets you send a free personalized thank you card to a service member.
And these are like hand drawn by kids.
Yeah. The pictures were created by kids all over the country and they were chosen from pictures that they sent in. And you just go in there, you can personalize the message. It's so easy and it's free. And then on their next printing, Xerox will print them out and send them. And, you know, I also recently received another email saying, you know, when you make out your Christmas card list, add any service member. That's a hoax.
What?
Yeah, that's, Yeah, it's a hoax. Like you could add any service member at Walter Reed, like just add it to.
Why would somebody do that? That's
well, according to Snopes, which never steers me wrong. You know, okay. That's the hoax website.
So you can't
website.
Just put some random
any
address.
Service. No, you can't say any service member. They can't accept it just because of,
it has
you
to
know.
Be for somebody.
Yeah. I think they just, it's too risky. They don't know what's going to be in it. And
yeah, no, you're
it's
right.
sad. But
nowadays, I bet you they used to do it, but I bet they can't do it anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you get that email that says, great idea, any service member at Walter Reed, that's a hoax. But this, let's say thanks, is sponsored by Xerox. I checked it out.
And
it's not a hoax.
Hoax you.
No,
they've got too much to lose.
No,
this is real. You know, if I were overseas and I missed home and I were to get something like this, these hand-drawn pictures from kids, of course they're printed. They're not, but I mean, there were, you know, I mean, that's neat. That's
yeah.
just really neat.
Yeah.
And then look at all of these pictures of servicemen and women who've received these. And oh, I just love that.
Yeah. So it's letssaythanks.com. I think that's,
and we have a lot of service members listening.
Yeah.
I don't know if they listen to this podcast. They might.
But yeah, we used to have a lot, you know, I know you've had a lot of fans.
Oh, and it's one, and it's, you know, we're with you and we really do say thank you.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
Are you ready to talk a little bit about Audible?
I am. Audible.com, our great sponsor. We have a new sponsor too. I'll talk about it in just a little bit.
Excellent.
But Audible.com, they do, of course, as you must all know by now, the best books, audio books ever. I love them because you can download them. So if you get a hankering for a book, you know, you say, oh, shoot, I've got to go on a long trip. I got to go to the, you know, you, by the time you pack your bag, you could have that book.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on any portable device, including all the iPods and your iPhone. You can burn them to CD. You can even listen on the computer. 45,000 titles. Right now, they're having a half price sale.
Ooh.
Actually, I think
might be over by the time.
Just ended.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still well worth it. I mean, this is great. And if you go to audible.com/monkeys, who needs a half price sale? You get a free book.
Right.
What am I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Audible.com/monkeys. And you sign up. If you decide not to stick around, there's no charge to you, but that book can be any book. And we have a recommendation that I love.
Yeah. Well, you were talking last week or a few weeks ago about Audible Essentials. They have a list of everything that you should listen to.
Yeah.
So I got excited. I went and looked through, and that's where I was reminded of Life of Pi. I've never listened to it. I read it, but I think it would be worth it. Did you listen to it?
Can I play a little bit of it? I listened to it.
Yes, you can.
The narrator, Jeff Woodman, sounds like Pi. I mean,
the pie that was in your head. I don't know.
Yeah,
well, let's
we should
see
say it's not blueberry pie. Pie is the kid in this story. But listen and see if it sounds like the pie in your head.
A sloth's hairs shelter an algae that is brown during the dry season and green during the wet season. So the animal blends in with the surrounding moss and foliage and looks like a nest of white ants or of squirrels, or like nothing at all but part of a tree. The three-toed sloth lives a peaceful vegetarian life in perfect harmony with its environment. A good-natured smile is forever on its lips, reported Turler, 1966. I have seen that smile with my own eyes. I am not one given to projecting human traits and emotions onto animals, but many a time during that month in Brazil, looking up at sloths in repose, I felt I was in the presence of upside-down yogis deep in meditation.
He's going to get to the tiger any minute now. I know what that part is. It's a wonderful book.
It is a great book.
And let me tell you something. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not even going to say what it's about. But at the end, it's wrenching. This is one of the toughest twists ever.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful book.
Yeah, it's a difficult book, but it's great. I love it.
Well, it's funny. It's difficult because for the first 11 hours and 15 minutes, it's kind of sweet and pleasant.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't get unpleasant, but you just realize what you've been listening to.
Yeah.
It's very, very powerful. Booker Prize winner for 2002. Book Sense Book of the Year Award a finalist for 2003. It is perhaps one of the greatest books of all time. And this is the way to, I have to say, I've read it and I've listened to it. This is the way to enjoy this book.
Listening to it.
Yeah, because it's first person. He's telling his story. Mm-hmm. So you really feel like you're with Pi in this book. And that's why that's really when the ending hits you. Life of Pi is a great book by Jan Martel. And this is, I can't recommend this more highly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this may be one of my I have about five all-time favorite audiobooks. This is one of them. I'm glad you picked it. Audible.com/monkeys. Life of Pi by Jan Martel. I realize I've probably listened now to more books than I've read.
No, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If you look at my list, there's hundreds and hundreds of books on there.
Wow.
I love listening to books.
Yeah.
And Certainly in the last 10 years, I've listened to more than that. Yeah. Right? I mean, I only started listening maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah. All right, let's get some more links, and then we will talk to Jeremiah. And then at the end of the show, we have some voicemails to play and some emails to read.
We have lots
too.
Of
yeah,
them.
Thanks for calling. We've gotten lots of calls. So here, the first link is the watch list that just recently came out, World Against Toys Causing Harm. They just released their 2007 10 Worst Toys list.
Oh, boy.
My favorite is the Jack Sparrow spinning dagger.
Now, these are worse not because they're bad ideas, but because they're dangerous.
Dangerous, yeah. But I think somewhere it was pointed out, well, the Jack Sparrow spinning dagger is fine for like, a 14-year-old or something, but maybe not for like a 2-year-old.
They're saying so. 5 plus.
Yeah.
It is $5 from Walmart. This rigid plastic dagger, which is intended to strap to a child's wrist, spins at the push of a button with accompanying electronic battle sounds.
Ooh.
The manufacturer fails to provide warnings regarding the potential for serious eye and other impact injuries. Now, I'm not one of those parents who says, oh, you got to keep, pat our children to make them wear helmets everywhere we go. But this does seem on the face of it a bad idea.
Yeah. So you can get this list at toysafety.org. I tell you, this is the big story I've been hearing, on the internet, at least, about the holiday shopping. It's just all the recalls and dangerous toys and... Yeah,
I can't say that the rubber band shooter is a bad idea. Everybody should.
You
have
should
one
have one, certainly.
But you could poke an eye out.
Yeah, and then there are those. I don't know. We might have already talked about this, but the Aquadots. Have you heard of those? Those are the little beads that when you swallow, they turn into GHB, the date rape drug.
What?
Yeah.
I did see a story about this. Yeah. Fill me in on this. This is crazy.
Yeah, Aquadots, which I have a friend who said she saw these at Costco. It's not like you just are getting these, at the dollar store or anything.
They're Pet Pals. It's a craft kit.
It's a craft. It's like, you like squirt these little beads and you make a design out of them.
And you're not supposed to swallow them.
No, you're not supposed to swallow them. Just like you weren't supposed to put the Thomas strains in your mouth either, with the lead.
Right.
But they turn into GHB. That's what it's called, right? The GHB. I think that's the name.
Roofies.
I don't know.
Roofies is what we call them in the hood. Children swallowing Aquadots temporarily slip into a comatose state requiring hospitalization. And they're that small. I mean, you could easily... And they say ages 4+.
Yeah. So
that's really... You're right. Bad idea.
Yeah. So this... Yeah.
Oh, man.
Merry Christmas.
Wow. Wow. I think we should have named this show, You'll Poke Your Eye Out.
Yeah, we should.
Or, You Keep Doing That, Your Face Will Stick. We could have had like mommy saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe at the end of every show, we could have a mommy saying.
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. I have a bunch of mommy sayings.
You do? From your mom or from Jennifer?
I don't remember where these came from. They have a bunch. I'm not kidding. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can. I'll look for them. I'll play a few of
them
for you.
Excellent.
Well, wait a minute. Here we go. Here we go. I got one. Let's see this.
You're playing another silly game? Come eat dinner.
You've heard that one.
Can't you?
All right, here's another one.
Can't you find something else to do?
Where did you get all these?
Don't you have homework to do?
Well, when I was a young man, I missed my mommy. So I had to record a whole series of these.
That's absolutely not the truth.
No. How about this? This is the one I heard a few times.
What are you going to do? Play video games for a living?
Well, kind of, yeah.
You're going to ruin your eyes. What are you, glued to the chair? Keep that door open.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Go outside.
Where'd you
and
get
play
them?
For a while.
I've had them for a long time and just a bunch of mommy sounds. Anyway, I just thought I should have been playing this all along.
Yeah, you should have. Don't play them all now. Don't waste it all.
I'll save this for my son tonight.
Don't you have homework to do?
It's sad. You say when you're a kid, I will never say that to my kid.
Yeah.
And you do.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Okay. Were you a bad kid? Were you disruptive when you were little?
Not more than usual.
Okay. Because the New York Times story that we're going to talk about
next.
I was
a really bad kid. Is it going to say bad kids are good?
It says bad behavior does not doom pupils, studies say.
Good.
So this is some interesting research. Two studies that were released recently about ADD and other signs of troubled youth.
I do have ADD. You may have noticed that.
You've said that you have ADD.
Can you not tell that I have ADD?
I don't know that I would call it ADD, but...
what would you call it?
I don't know. Just...
Distractibility.
You act like a child? I don't know.
I prefer to think of it as adult ADD.
Yeah. Okay. That if that works for you. Anyway, this is serious research. It was the Journal of Developmental Psychology and the National Institute of Mental Health. Mm. I think it's interesting because it these studies could change the way that scientists and teachers and parents kind of understand kids. And I think sometimes teachers sort of project, and sometimes parents project, well, you had ADD when you were young, or you were disruptive. That's never going to change. That's the way that you're going to be. You know, you can't change. And what these studies say is that really a lot of kids grow out of it. And
more than that, it isn't even inappropriate. And I think that's really critical. That in fact, they say here that some educators have inappropriate maturity expectations.
Exactly.
That they place on young kids as soon as they enter classrooms. And that was my experience with my son, mm-hmm. who's a boy.
Yeah.
And it started in about third or fourth grade. And teachers really said, you know, sit down, shut up. And he had more energy and more, verve than that. And I don't know if that sometimes, I know it's hard to manage these kids.
Yeah. I feel it already. I feel like, having two boys that, yeah. And I feel really strongly against, over-medicating children and also just, yeah.
But the schools are often, I think, geared towards girls. They want girl pupils. They draw well. They have good handwriting. Yeah. They sit still. They mind their P's and Q's. And boys are, busy batting each other on the head.
My boys are, definitely.
It's normal.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Yeah, Annabella takes gymnastics. And she goes with a little friend of hers who's the same age. She's a boy. And I feel sorry because it's almost all girls in the class. And I feel sorry because he is just like everywhere else. Like he's, he just doesn't really want to follow directions. And she's often like the teacher gets really frustrated with him. She gets, come back, and where Annabella is, she's a big rule follower. And she's also used to her brothers being crazy. So she's just like, come on, come back. This is what we're doing now. She's almost sometimes calmer than the teacher. But I don't know. I'm not a teacher, so I can't say. But it's interesting.
Yeah, I feel for teachers. I'm not saying. I mean, I know it's hard to manage these kids. I don't know what the solution is.
But yeah, but this interesting article, I'll put the link at jumpingmonkeys.com. It's in the New York Times and interesting
stuff. And this is what I was worried about. They get labeled, as you point out. They get labeled. And then, you have attention deficit disorder or you are learning disabled. Mm-hmm. Henry's in RPS for learning disabled kids. And it's because I think the teachers just didn't want to deal with his personality, his learning style and so forth. And so it was easier just to say, oh, no, he's got a learning problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. All right. My last link is a family blog. This is interesting. I haven't seen very many of these. You see the mommy blogs, you've seen the daddy blogs, but this is one where the parents and the kids also post. It's the daringdos.com.
This is from Joel from Sweden, who says, my accent is not right. Swedish people don't talk like this.
Yeah, this is right. Thank you, Joel. But he also wanted to add that your Swedish accent is way off.
I talk like the Swedish chefs. They're Muppets. They're not real. But I bet when he talks like an American, he talks like
probably. Yeah. So it's thedaringdos.com. And it's really interesting. I think Joel found it because it was listed somewhere because they did a R2-D2 pumpkin carving, which is really cool. But they have, one of the kids has posted her list of her favorite magazines, which I thought was interesting. All really cool. And like her little reviews of them as well. And it's a cool little web log, family web log. I think as soon as my kids start to type, I'd like to start a family web blog too.
But this is a neat family. Kind of wish, maybe you don't wish this because you've got a cool family. I wish my family were doing all these fun, cool, wild things.
Like say, going to Egypt for Christmas.
Oh, never mind.
You are a cool family.
Oh, I forgot. Never mind. Never mind. The Daring Dos, DERRINGDOS.com. Now, before we get to Jay, a.k.a.
Your old pal Jay.
My old pal Jay. I won't call him that. Jeremiah. I want to mention Khajiit. We want to welcome them. This is the second week they've been on. And you found these guys. And I think this is so cool. Tell us what Kijit is.
Kijit is a cell phone service for tweens. So it's a little bit too old for my kids.
And but a little too young for mine, unfortunately. Yeah. They need real cell phones. But if your kids are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12,
yeah.
This is it.
I mean, and I don't even know. I don't know. Even if they're older, if this is their first cell phone, I don't know. I think it really depends on your relationship with your kid. And
I would agree. Because some kids don't need the cell phone to call all their friends. They just want to call home. But let me tell you something. I was a little against cell phones for young kids until I realized it's for the parents. Mm-hmm. It's so you know where your kid is.
Yeah.
It's so they can reach you when ballet class ends early.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost at this point for me a safety thing. And if my kids didn't have phones, man, I would get them phones. And the way to go is Kijit. I mean, this is a really neat idea. It's affordable, right?
Right.
Because the idea, I mean, these are full featured phones. But there's pay as you go.
Mm-hmm. And you do. Yeah. So, you know, if you cancel, they don't have like a year, contract or whatever, which is good, I think, for teenagers, because you're always changing your mind about things.
And easy to use tools for managing your budgets and usage. So you control it, not the kid.
Right. Because when I started to look into what, you know, there's a lot of services that will just automatically, you know, they'll pop up. And it's basically giving your kid a credit card sometimes, right? I mean, you can sign up for services and...
Yeah, let me tell you something. Henry buys ringtones, he buys songs, he buys videos. I'm really thinking, I wish I'd gotten him a Kijit.
Well, because he could do that. He could buy ringtones, but then once he spends his allowance, then that's it. He can't make any more calls, except he can always call 911, he can always call home. But
and they have a choice of phones, too. That was the other thing. I got Henry a, quote, kid phone. He hated it. We ended up washing it. He put it in the washing machine because it looks like a kid phone. He was embarrassed. But these are cool. They've got a Samsung, LG, a variety of different phones. So the kids are gonna love these phones. The Sanyo Katana 2, which is a very pretty phone. In fact, I want this phone. I love this phone. KAJEET.com. And in case you didn't know, this is a commercial. we're so excited about this fun. I should emphasize this is a paid commercial. But these guys are great. We're really glad we could bring them into the fold. Kijit, use it for good is their slogan. And we thank them so much for helping support Jumping Monkeys. And we do encourage you to check it out on the web. Also available at Target stores. So the next time you're at Target, stop by the Kijit area and take a look at these phones. Don't bring the kids unless you're sure you want one, though.
Yeah.
Because they're going to, for me, mommy. Oh, this would be such a good Christmas present. Oh, my gosh. Or holiday. I mean, the kids would just go crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to Jay.
Yeah.
My friend, my buddy.
Jeremiah McNichols has three websites that we're going to talk about.
Three.
You probably already know him from Z Recommends. Jeremiah, welcome to Jumping Monkeys.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So you have a couple of websites. The one that most people are probably familiar with is Z Recommends, where you review all kinds of different products. I've checked your website many times. I really enjoy your reviews. So I'd like to talk about that. And also you have a new site called Prizy. And later on, we'd love to talk to you about that too. And then a wiki also called Toy Instruction. So you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Which came first?
The first of those three was Z Recommends.
And
we started that.
And who's Z, by the way? You're not Z.
Our daughter. That's our daughter. Oh. She's three now, and we just don't use her name on the blog.
Oh, how cute.
We don't use her name, and we don't show her face. And that was a decision we made right off the bat when we were reading blogs and starting to think about having a parenting blog, was that partly because we're indirectly promoting products by recommending them, but also because we're sort of giving a glimpse of our lives. We didn't really want her to be, you know, the face of it. We didn't really feel like that was fair. So we call her Z. Whenever we reference her on the blog, we never use her name. And as she grows, we'll just, our plan is to incorporate her more and more into the blog as she grows and can contribute in various ways.
Make her do some of the work.
She'll take over and we can retire off her eventually.
I love it.
That's why we all have kids, right?
Yeah. That's the foolish plan we all had. The only person that succeeded with is Mrs. Gates.
So when did you start Z Recommends?
It was a little over a year ago. It was September of 06, and we just, you know, we were just brimming with opinions about products that we were using and had no outlet for it, and thought, oh, gee, maybe it would be fun to start a little blog, and we could write about our high chair or our, you know, favorite brand of bottle or whatever it was that we were interested in. And it took a few months, well, a couple months, before we realized that it was something that we could take pretty seriously and really invest a lot of time in. And once we did that, we started doing daily reviews, well, every weekday. We started planning bigger projects and just sort of figuring out ways to make it a really, what we hope to be a really engaging blog.
So now I gather that people, a lot of companies send you things to review.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, when we started, we were just reviewing, you know, the stuff we got our hands on that we liked. From the start, we realized that as a product blog, there's so much stuff out there that unless you're really toppling the leading lights of any product category, people don't want to read about stuff that isn't good. It's not like there's a real art to it that you would just enjoy, you know, reading somebody take down, a kind of block, you know, in the same way that you might enjoy hearing somebody criticize an album of music. You know? So we knew from the start that it would be a fairly positive blog because we were recommending things and people want to know, you know, what's worth their money.
Woodwork. It's carving. I'm just trying to think of what you would say. You really can't. You can't. You're right. It's not just not literary.
Well, when we started, it was stuff that we would buy because we've always done a lot of research, a lot of product research online and in person when we could before we bought things. And so we sort of just brought that to bear on our reviewing and tried to really turn a critical eye on stuff. And then over time, after several months, started contacting companies and requesting things from them. And at first it was all the little startups that were the only companies, you know, that had that time or were willing to devote those resources to a little blog like us. And now we get a little more attention so we can, now it's kind of confusing. We've sort of outgrown the methods that we've had so far and we get lots of inquiries now. And so we're fielding those a lot more than we used to. And we also, ask for a lot more stuff now. So we're always juggling that, those threads of conversations, you know, in along with reviewing.
Has this become a full-time job for you?
Not yet.
must be close though. I'm looking at the number of things you review.
It's a long-term plan for us. We would like to be able to at least have it be a means of employing one of us.
Yeah. You post almost every day, though.
What's that?
It looks like you post almost every day.
Yeah, we do every weekday, unless somebody's sick. Then we have to take the day off sometimes. We had an illness ravage our household last week, and we had a couple days that we took off. But, we're even starting to plan for that. We're getting guest reviewers with pieces lined up that we can use in a pinch, and we're starting to think about who the next reviewers could be for us that could test baby products where we don't have a baby anymore. And we have some,
yeah, the site's going to have to grow up with Z.
Yeah. And we don't want the products to just keep getting older and older. We want to be able to sort of expand our coverage as she grows so that,
right,
you know, the experience that we've gained with baby stuff, we can continue to use and we can continue to draw new parents as the ones who have already become interested in our blog can follow us, you know, through their own children's lives.
So what are some of the tech gadgets that you've reviewed lately that you like?
Well, we've been playing with digital cameras, with kids' digital cameras over the last week or so. And we have four models of those that we're using. We've been a fan of all the major brands of kids' technology devices. I've been surprised, not through any particular prejudice, but just, it's one of the big brands and you don't necessarily assume that, that the people spending the most on advertising are making the best products. But some of the best stuff that I've seen comes from Fisher-Price. I love their GeoTrax line of toddler trains. They have a second generation of them out now that they sort of invented a new product category. And I'm really amazed when somebody does that and creates something not only that you didn't think of before, but that you didn't think could work until you saw it. And the GeoTrax trains are like that for me. They also have one of the digital cameras that we're using right now. It's called the Kid Tough digital camera, and it has a really interesting profile and physical design that is very tough. We have one that's a couple years old that we bought that Z has dropped a lot, and that we have dropped in testing as well. It has sort of a rubberized shell around it that extends from the front and back like these sort of buttresses that shield not only the guts of the camera, but also all of the buttons and the lens and everything. It's a really nice design. And they just came out with a new one that has, the old one has 640 by 480 resolution for the images, which is, you know, teensy weensy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even print those. But the new one that they have that, we haven't quite come to our final conclusions about which of these cameras are the best, but the new one has a 1.3 megapixel or 1.2 megapixel option. You can toggle between different resolutions, and it's looking pretty good. There's also another camera by VTech that has some really cool features that slightly older kids who are a little more tech savvy than our daughter is can really enjoy, like just sort of funny little photo editing things that are built into the LCD screen that you use to take the pictures, so you can sort of edit in camera.
Hmm.
And just various little effects and things like that. But sadly, the image quality of that camera seems to be really, really poor, the worst of the group. And that's the only one that I can really speak about with confidence, because other ones, we just haven't tried all of the different features yet to see what takes the best pictures. Polaroid also recently came out with a digital camera that we're playing with, and a what I'm really excited about, but we haven't even really used yet, but we'll review in the next couple weeks, is a digital video camera for young children. I'm not sure what age they list it as starting at, but we always test stuff, seeing if our three-year-old can use it, and the way they pare down the features, if it can take halfway decent outdoor video, which is about probably all you can ask from something that inexpensive and toddler-proof, I think getting media devices like that into kids' hands where they're creating something is to me one of the most exciting applications of technology for kids. You know, it's when they can express themselves or show you what their world looks like. That's when I get really excited about tech for 2 and 3 and 4 year olds.
Oh yeah, definitely. So you guys just released your holiday gift guide.
Yes.
What are some of your favorite things on the gift guide?
Well, it really varies, and we tried to have a good variety of not just different price ranges, but also different types of items. So we did. We occasionally do theme weeks of content, and we did a music week a couple months ago that was very difficult. I got this idea that I was going to review. First, I thought I was going to review 24 albums of children's music in 24 hours.
Oh, jeez. That means like nonstop listening.
Then we kept getting more. I mean, I would have listened to them first, and I may have even written some of the reviews first, but basically, you know, just the publication would be over a 24-hour span.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Even in itself, when you're working in Blogspot and there's no delayed posting, you know, it would literally mean being up for 24 hours to do it.
Oh, that's right. You need to get some better software, dude.
I love Blogger. I'm a big Blogger booster. And everything I use is all the great Google software that integrates with Blogger.
Oh,
and I like being, you know, in the belly of a big beast that's eating all these other things that I can then Turns my hands. I like free software. I like online applications, and I like how a company like Google can integrate all these different things, which is one of the things we did with Prizee. If we hadn't been using Blogger, it wouldn't have been quite as nice to integrate the calendar that we did, which I'm sort of jumping ahead to talk about Prizee. But but as far as the gift guide goes, anyway, what I was saying is we did so much music reviewing that when we first put the gift guide together, we were thinking this is going to be our top picks, everything that we thought was the best from the year. But it turned out to be very heavily lopsided in favor of a couple areas that we'd done some heavy reviewing in, including music. And what we ended up doing with those music reviews was we got way more than 24 albums that were worth reviewing in that time span. And so we ended up doing 5 a day for 7 days, along with a major interview with a kids musician each day. And it was, I mean, it was the most work I've ever done in a long time. And so we realized we didn't want to stack our gift guide so heavily in favor of music or any other specific thing that we'd covered. So we sort of pared it down. It's really not the best of the blog. It's just we tried to give a manageable slice, because we've done so many reviews, we tried to give a manageable slice of a list of things that we thought would be relevant to just about any kid. With a few exceptions that we threw in for things that we just really loved. So there are a few CDs and DVDs in there that we just thought were phenomenal this year. One DVD that I would single out is called A Treasure in My Garden, and it's by, I won't remember any of the names, but a French Quebecois songwriter in the chanson tradition. Some, you know, sort of French pop tradition, who wrote all these, he's also a poet, and wrote all these kids' songs, or wrote poems and then set them to music, and then had an animation house, some European animation house, do, maybe it was a Canadian animation house, do videos for each of these songs in this huge array of styles, and it's not like any other video I've seen that's pitched to kids. It's the animation is all really strong, and it's very varied, and it also is just very strange, and the sensibilities of the songwriting too are they take in a lot that a lot of people assume that kids either aren't ready for or aren't interested in, and really make them into nice songs for kids. So that's just one example. So if you kept me talking, I could talk about
it. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit? Why don't you tell us about Prizee?
Oh, sure. Prizee is a blog that we launched about a month ago, maybe 5 or 6 weeks by now. But as we were getting more and more into blogging, we realized how much PR is being done, how much marketing is being done through giveaways on parent blogs. Companies see it as a cost-effective way to get the word out about a product to host a giveaway on somebody's blog. And what usually happens is these blogs then make the most of that opportunity. They ask people to link to them in order to be entered into a contest or put their badge on their own blog. It's all very, I guess, incestuous is one word to use. You know, it's all sort of inter-blogging, you know, these bloggers talking to other bloggers. And we saw an opportunity to create, first of all, these things are scattered all over. They're on, a lot of them are on these really small blogs, because these PR people, they see this as a way of getting really deeply, you know, embedded into communities, you know, into reader communities that they can't access in other ways. And to extract, you know, testimonials of some kind from these people, you know, as they talk about the product. You know, maybe they'll get a sample for review and then they'll give one away. And so we saw an opportunity to create a hub of information, because we figured there was a small readership for each of these blogs that the giveaway was reaching, and there was a small readership of dedicated contest bloggers, you know, who are sort of the modern day equivalent of you know, women who would enter jingle contests, you know, in our childhood or earlier. you know, who just are always looking for things to enter, you know, always looking for things they can win or get for free or, you know, get samples of or that kind of thing. But there's a huge, demographic of people who would love to enter these things if it was easy. And so we created Prizee to provide a hub of information for giveaways that are very, very easy to enter, that meet some general posting requirements, like not requiring link backs, not requiring you to email 10 friends and tell them how great this thing is in order to get entered, but just send an email, post a comment, do something else very simple, maybe have to go to a company website and retrieve some trivia fact or something, but you know, a couple minutes or less, you can enter this giveaway and have a chance to win something. And so we recruited a few other bloggers from blogs. Some of them were from, a couple of them were from blogs that were sort of contest blogs already. One called Keeping My Fingers Crossed, a woman named Lacey, another woman named Naomi, who has a nice parenting blog of her own called Super Dumb Super Villain. And then Adrienne of Baby Toolkit. They all joined as sort of freelance bloggers. We each cover a beat of blogs that routinely post giveaways, some of the bigger blogs that post regular giveaways. And then we also just feed in everything that blogs from the outside send us to list, and we just constantly pick up more and more blogs to follow. And we also invite some blogs that routinely post very nice giveaways that we don't have to edit, meaning that every time they do it, they meet our criteria and they're nice things to give away. We invite them to participate in the blog and post their own. And that's part of our growth strategy. Is right now we have a handful of blogs that come in and post their own giveaways in our templated format. And we're going to hopefully get more and more blogs to do that and feed into this hub.
I can't believe the size of this community.
It's basically just very quick hit, you know, sort of who, what, where, when listings, what the deadline is, what you need to do to enter, what the thing being given away is, a picture if we have one, and a link to go to it. And we post 15 to 20 of those things a day, and we have a Google Calendar integrated into the blog. It's at the top of the blog that you can look at that has everything organized by deadline. Because when we find these giveaways or when they're listed, it's just the order we find them in. So there's no deadline, you know, filter or sorting in the blog. It's a stream of blog posts. So the calendar allows you to see what's coming up, you know, what's expiring today, and then you can search for it in our search box and call up the post. So it's kind of a hack to allow you to find things according to the deadline without having to have a label or a tag for every date.
Right. So basically, you're not using software necessarily to go and find these giveaways. I mean, you know, you probably use like Google search or something, or...
We haven't even gotten into the realm of Google search because there's so much good stuff that we can find more directly. Really, there are probably 15 or 20 blogs that we cover as our beats that have giveaways at least once a week, if not more. There are a few blogs that have giveaways almost every day. And then there are blogs that we cover that we, you know, each of us will have subscriptions in our feed readers that might only post something every couple weeks, but they're still on our radar, so we're covering them. And then now that we have some visibility, I'm taking inquiries every day. I mean, I'm getting stuff in every day from people who want a contest listed because they've had a taste of the exposure. Because it's really from the start, it outstripped even my expectations for what a launch would be like in terms of the traffic and the enthusiasm that people are having for it. So we when we list something, I mean, especially on these smaller blogs where they're really doing it very casually, you know, they're probably always just going to be doing it very casually, but they got a hold of something, they met some PR person or something, and they're giving something away. They're used to posting and, you know, they have that very small group of readers that follow their blog or find them randomly who will enter a contest. And not to talk about numbers, but then if we list it, then we're directing, you know, if we're right that it's something that would appeal to our readers, then we're directing this very large stream of traffic, you know, we're turning up the garden hose, you know, right in their face. And when they see all that stuff come in, then, you know, the service sells itself. And the next time, they will make a point to find our email address on our blog and email us and tell us that they have it. Mm. So we're starting to get a lot of submissions, basically, from people.
Do you monitor for ethical violations in any way? I mean, are you worried about paper post and that kind of thing?
Basically, I would say that, how do I put this delicately? That we don't worry about that, and part of the reason that we don't worry about that is because we are assuming that if you're coming to Prizy, your concern is that you want to win.
You want to win some.
So right. You don't right. care if right. the testimonial is sincere. You don't care if it's, you know, well thought out. And probably you don't read it, you know.
You just want to win the prize, right?
Yeah, want to yeah. win the prize. And it's funny because, in a way, it's still serving the marketer's purpose because,
oh, yeah.
you know, a giveaway, I mean,
I'm not worried about the marketer. Obviously, the marketer's purpose is well served. I think there's, you know, in the blogosphere, there's a whole debate over paper post and the whole ethics of this. Mm-hmm. And it's just exploding right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm blown away by the number of sites that are that you have on these giveaways. There's so many of them. And I'm sure 99.9% are completely legit. They're just somebody doing a blog and somebody said, would you like to give away a diaper cake? And they said, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's odd because giveaways are among, I think, the least tainted forms of a relationship that you can develop,
right.
that you can forge, you know, with a company, because you're putting the product out there, you know, you're giving it away. I mean, I imagine there are...
It's very clear and upfront what the tit for tat is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I imagine there are circumstances where people are promising that they're going to give a good review, or, you know, there's a nudge and a wink, you know, that they're going to review it and say it's great and then give it away. And honestly, there's pressure on, you know, there's the blogger has, you know, if they're not careful, they have an interest in puffing up the item too, because they want people to be excited that they're giving it away. You know, I mean, who wants to trash something that,
right. You got some crap. You want to win it? Yeah.
Yeah.
This fancy printer, and you got to say you tried it and you think it sucks. And right. if you want to win one, you know.
So in that sense, doesn't it then make it a little tainted? I mean, because if you want people to come and do whatever your contest is, you would want to. I mean, why would you do a bad review then?
Well, it's almost like a lot of these bloggers, and I would hate to name names because there are definitely people who are doing a really good job of reviewing and giving away, you know, combining those things. And honestly, you know, anybody who takes stuff for free to review, you know, you could say in a sense that they're running the risk of having a sense of obligation to the company.
Right.
But that's a tried and true practice in mainstream, you know, print journalism as well as online. But it's the problem with a lot of these giveaways is that I think that the bloggers are being used as at my most cynical moments, I think that a lot of the blogging is just being used as search engine filler. Because
sure.
the testimonials, it's
link spam in a kind of backhanded way.
Yes. Yes. Because you go, you've heard about a product, you go to look it up, you know, you're thinking about buying it.
Right.
And along with the link to Amazon or wherever place you can buy it, you see 10 mommy blogs that, you know, you read the little snippet in the search engine and they're talking about how great it is. Because if you really read those tests, if you really read a lot of those reviews, you know, they don't, I think that most parents, and I mean most consumers in general, are savvy enough to see if they're reading marketing copy, especially if it's, you know, amateur marketing copy. And and they will use that information accordingly, you know, and it's just the marketers want to get that copy spread all over the place, you know, and in different people's voices. But whether that's really more effective than a formal marketing campaign, I mean, that's, you know,
it's cheaper. That's the main point.
Yeah.
Now we should say that Zeeg Recommends is you're not taking pay for posts, and your reviews are real reviews.
But I am actually, I'm really interested in those issues, and I have been a member of PaperPost. I signed up for PaperPost and for ReviewMe, which I don't even know if they're still around anymore, but they were a competitor at some point, because signing up for them was the only way to get in and see what was happening.
Right.
So I've signed up for both of those services, and I used to check them. I used to have fantasies about doing some kind of expose or something. because before they had those disclosure policies when they first came out,
you didn't know.
Track. Well, you could just, if you read enough blogs, you know, you could, and you read them in a certain sector.
They all said the same thing.
Track what was being paid for.
Yeah, yeah.
By all of a sudden, it was appearing on everybody's blogs, right. And they were all talking about how great it was. And then at that time, yeah, I mean, almost nobody was saying that they were doing it.
Right.
So I really wanted to get in and see, you know, what companies were soliciting reviews.
Good for you. Because it pollutes the water. And in a site like yours, which is legitimate reviews, or ours, then gets painted, tarred by that same brush.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the same thing goes, you know, but the same thing goes for the PR side. Because, you know, PR and marketing, there are companies that are trying to conduct business in a more legitimate way. But, you know, we develop assumptions about them based on
right.
the worst that we see.
Exactly.
You know, especially, I mean, what's going on in other forms of social media, you know, I mean, you have moles in message boards, mm-hmm. you know, people posting fake comments to blogs. I don't know if you get that, but we do, you know, promoting different products.
Mm-hmm.
You get it. I'm sure much more than we do, but.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, some of those things are paid for. Some of those things are run by marketing agencies.
Right.
There's kind of a wild west.
I was at Blog World on last Friday, and Matt Mullenweg, the creator of WordPress, said that when asked about PaperPost, he said, if this continues, it could be the end of blogging,
mm-hmm.
because it really does damage all bloggers' credibility.
But you're in the more traditional model. I mean, you're not even just accepting things that people are sending you. You're going out and asking for certain things you want to review. So I think that is more...
I do occasionally get things completely unsolicited, but I don't know how, because we don't have our we don't have our address published anywhere. So that, maybe people are passing it around or something. But we occasionally get things without even people inquiring at us.
Really? But, your address? They just send them right to you, not your email address?
Oh yeah, we get a few things in the mail where we're like, we never asked.
Interesting.
How do we get that? Well, they probably the PR companies and the marketing companies
share addresses around. You know,
believe me, it's just beginning. Pretty soon you get to the point where you go, I don't want anything. Stop it. Go away. Okay. I'll ask for it if I want to review it. Please
just
stop
just
sending
directing
me
the flow of goods is it can
it's a nightmare,
be
isn't it?
A nightmare. Yeah, we donate tons of stuff. To different organizations locally to us,
great.
And
that's neat.
And we give as much stuff away as we can that's this lightweight that we can afford to ship. We probably keep 10% of what we review.
There's only so much primary colored plastic crap any family can absorb.
Well,
I've found.
We try to avoid all the head stuff. We don't blog much about that.
it arrives somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I do want to talk about the wiki, because I think that's a really neat idea.
Oh, yes. Toy Instructions is an earlier idea that I had when we had some sort of frustrating and fruitless searches for instructions for different toys, and realized that a lot of these are sort of buried on company websites. And also reading blogs like Make, seeing things on other tech blogs where people were hacking toys, reading parenting blogs and seeing DIY projects that people would do that were based around toys. I thought it would be interesting to create sort of a directory of information on major toy brands that tapped into those areas. So primarily it's meant to be just sort of a link base for, first of all, where to find instructions for different toys, but also where there are communities of people who are using these toys, either talking a lot about them or using them in alternative ways to help you find them. So it's a very simple search model. Basically, toy instructions searches Technorati. I believe the video is YouTube. The blog posts are Technorati. DIY is a blog roll that I rolled up. That's a Google custom search, and then it has a there's something else that I'm missing.
You really are a Google geek. I love this. You just have figured out how to use Google to do it all.
Oh, you call me a Google geek, but the groups are Yahoo groups. Because that's so much more active than Google groups is.
So it's true.
A lot of toy brands have Yahoo groups that of fans that, you know, can talk constantly about this particular brand of toy. So we help you find those groups, those communities, too.
Oh, great.
And because it's a wiki, you also encourage people to put their own information up on there?
Yes, and it doesn't get edited a lot, which is not what I was hoping for. But yeah, it's an open wiki. You can edit almost any page on it. Anybody can come in and edit, and it's basically it's intended to be updated and maintained by a user base, and it's sort of still in search of a user base. Most of the information that's up there now is what I created to seed it with. So it really covers the major brands.
Well, let's put out the word.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it got good buzz when it started. And we got a lot of visitors, and I was sort of surprised. I mean, we would get, you know, tens of thousands of visitors, but, they were all sort of just looking around. So, wikis are, you know, I mean, developing a community is not something that happens overnight, and it's something I know less about than blogging. So we would love for more people to check it out. It still does get pretty good traffic, and we always are watching what people are searching for on it to see what we should add. Right.
So what's the address of the wiki?
That is toyinstructions.net.
.net. Okay. And then it's zrex.blogspot.com?
Yes, and it's also zrex.com, zrex.com, and then Prizey is prizey.net.
What's your background? Did you come from the industry? Or
my background is actually in journalism and graphic design, web design.
Perfect.
So, yeah,
right,
so I have the writing background. I have a, you know, sort of a critical thinking and writing background, and also a feature writing background. And then I was designing websites for other people, and realized I was really more into the content side.
Right.
I was really interested in you know, idea-driven projects and seeing where I could take them. So I stopped designing websites and started focusing my time on this.
Well, you're a great writer, so I could see the journalism. But I also think it's interesting to watch. This is the new journalism, isn't it? I mean, this is the future. So a lot of journalists are moving in this direction. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I would include myself in that group. Very cool. And I also like your ethical stance on all of this, too. I think that's key to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks. And I think that a lot of those things will still keep being worked out as blogging, you know, matures, and as more of those people from the mainstream come over and impose some things or learn some things, and you know, a lot of this will get cleared up over time. But I think that one of the things that we've tried to do with Prizey, and I think that one of the things that will also emerge over time is that people have a really narrow definition of what blogs are for and what blogs can do, and really just if you strip it down to the bare essentials of it being, you know, sequentially ordered series of individual posts with some, you know, linking structure around it, and some, you know, various ways to navigate through it. I think there's a lot of untapped potential, and I don't think that journaling is the end of it. So I'm really excited to see what people do with blogs, and, you know, particularly with things that can have an RSS feed and go out on Twitter and all those different things, beyond even what we're doing now.
Well, I mean, you've taken it to another level, and that's really neat. I mean, it's not a blog. It's just regular reviews coming out all the time, and it's exactly what it's for. I think it's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. We have fun doing
and
it.
I hope you're not killing yourself doing it. I'm pretty impressed.
We're young.
Energetic.
Yeah, you only have one child. Just don't have any more. You'll be fine.
You better stop now. Z Recommends. What a great site. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Jeremiah Nichols minus Z.
McNichols.
McNichols. That's why I call him Jay. It's just easier. McNichols and his daughter Z. I think that's cute.
Yeah, Z. Yeah. I sometimes wish
I call him Jay. They call her Z.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They call her the wife Jay also. That's confusing.
Yeah, I think that's... I sometimes wish I hadn't said my kids' names on the internet. I mean, but, you know, I did it when Annabella was in the womb, I think, or when she was born, and I didn't, you know, there really wasn't, it wasn't the same thing as it is now.
No, and I did it. I am embarrassed to say I've posted pictures of her.
Well, so have I. I mean, I did for a long time.
I should have asked you.
I do sometimes post pictures, but I don't post everything anymore.
I posted the first picture of her, I think.
Maybe. I think
blog.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are you mad at me?
No, I don't.
Everybody loves you so much. They watched your pregnancy on TV. Mm-hmm. And when you had Annabella, everybody was so excited about it. And you're right. It wasn't that long ago, but it was a different time.
I mean, I don't regret it really. It was a different time, but I think it is definitely something to think about if you're going to start a blog, if you haven't already.
But I don't think Annabella is any less safe.
No, I don't either. I mean, but who knows?
We live in a tiny town. I think it's a very safe town. I don't think it's dangerous to, but everybody has to make that choice. And I completely understand why they wanted Z to have a normal life instead of be the superstar that Annabella is.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, she's not going to grow up normal.
Yeah. She used to be, for a while, she was the number one Annabella on Google.
People are going to, I mean, she's going to expect limo rides everywhere from now on.
She expects that now.
Private
actually,
jets.
Yeah.
And so
she expects me
different.
To read to her every night. I'm just kidding.
Every night.
All right. I think now it's time to listen to hear from you guys, from
it
the
is.
Listeners.
Shall we start with a recording and then get to a written and alternate like that?
Yeah.
These are calls to our Grand Central number. It is not toll free. It is a long distance call for you. 707-981-4602. It's unattended. So you just leave a message. And just so you know how accurate my Swedish accent is. This is our first call. It's from Sweden. This guy sounds just like when I talk to Verdi Herdi. This is what he sounds exactly. It's the same.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Leo. I think I should fill you in on the Swedish maternity leave length. I just looked it up. It's 480 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. 480 days.
What?
60 of those are for each parent, so you count the mother has to use at least 60 and the father has to use at least 60.
Huh.
The rest of the days are this you could use for either parent. Those are the statistics, and it's quite nice, and I'm having three daughters, and it's working okay here in Sweden. Bye-bye.
He said he's having three daughters. What do you think that means?
He means he already had them. It's tough. Past part of
Jaren's, very different. Yeah, Jaren's are
Jaren's nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And they need little cages with wheels in them and everything. It's
but I would I just like if he planned on having three daughters, if he could just say, I think I'm going to have three daughters. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice if he could plan that? Anyway, that's a real Swedish accent, by the way.
And that is a really amazing maternity leave.
But you know, they also have paid college education for everybody in the
really?
Country of Sweden.
Wow.
Free colleges. So it's a socialist nation. They have very high taxes, and it's much more of a cradle to grave social welfare system. Mm-hmm. That's just the decision they've made.
Yeah.
But you have to say when you go to Sweden and you see the people, it's working.
That's what makes them so blonde.
No, but look at his English was perfect. And they I mean, we have many listeners in Sweden. Why? Because they speak English beautifully. And do we speak Swedish beautifully?
No, we don't. No. That's amazing, though. I like how
60 days.
Of it has to be used by either the...
One each. So I guess that means the father has to take 2 months off.
Right.
I think that, or the mother, but one of the parents does.
All right. So here's an email from John. He says, on episode 22, you read an email from a teacher listing rules for using the internet in her class. And he asks, is there any way to post and list that on the Jumping Monkeys website? Now, that was a list by Kimberly Hebert that we read. And I've emailed her and asked her if it was okay or see if she already has them posted somewhere, if we can link those. So if you're interested in those, just stay tuned.
Okay. That would be a very useful thing.
Yeah, those were some good rules.
Yeah.
Should we listen to another?
Another call. Here we go from Southern California area.
Thank you guys so much for your podcast. It's been extremely helpful for my family, and especially myself, being a newly adoptive mother. We are currently, you know, looking for lots of information. So on everything from sleeping to any type of link, parenting link, anything is helpful, and we just really enjoy your podcast. Both my husband and I have been listening to Leo for years on KFI, and we just love that he has now entered into, or not entered into parenting, but
and I'm finally
at
admitting
least,
it.
shared his knowledge with us. So, and also we love Megan as well.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. Bye. Oh. My name is Gloria.
Thank you, Gloria.
Gloria, you sound very tired.
Can you imagine, newly adoptive parent? See, when you have a pregnancy, at least you get used to being exhausted.
I guess. Nothing can make you used to having an infant, I don't think.
Oh, you're right. There's no buildup. You're right. In fact, you're 9 months of exhaustion leading up to 2 years of exhaustion.
Yeah, two years.
More?
Yes.
I forgot.
Yeah.
This is, I will fill you in on this. This is the magic of Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
You forget it all completely.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that I had kids sometimes.
Well, Gloria, we're really glad that you're listening.
Isn't that nice?
And yeah, so I have one more email.
Oh, okay.
This one comes from Jessica. Jess. She says, Flickr has a newish feature called Guest Pass, which lets you send a link to non-members to view your private protected photos without a Flickr login. It's perfect for sharing photos with non-tech-savvy grandparents and other friends and family who don't have or want a Flickr account. Just click Share This Set button at the top of every set front page. So, yeah, this I think she was responding to a few episodes ago when we talked about you know, sharing your photos.
We got
privately.
A lot of calls and email about that. It was a good suggestion. Somebody suggested Smug Mug, which is another great site, smugmug.com. Mm-hmm. And you can put videos and pictures
photos
up there. And they have, I think they have a code that you can send out. And so, yeah, similar idea, single password.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of ways to do it. And I'm glad that Flickr has that. That's good.
Yeah. So, I think we've used up our time.
What's your Timex say? Are we out of time?
My Timex says it's time for me to relieve my husband who's watching the kids.
Oh, say hi to O for me, will you? And we will say hi to you again next week, I hope.
It's
a lot of fun on JM. See, I'm L, and that's M.
M. Mm-hmm.
We thank you so much for joining us
on Jumpin' Monkeys.
BCNU.